Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome. Great to have you with us. On a day where, for example, golf ratings were up 138% because of Tiger Woods' presence. And Detroit Grand Prix results were down 138%. Where did that audience go?
Well, they didn't go to golf, that's for sure, but that red flag might have had something to do with it. Talk about the worst-case scenario. You finally get back to a really fun street circuit in Detroit. You find that there's not a whole lot of passing going on, but a lot of close racing. And for a street circuit, that's pretty good. And then all of a sudden, the tar that they put up starts coming up off of the surface, and everybody starts wrecking. Yeah, that was a great return to Detroit.
Okay. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. This is the Monday edition, which means Purdy Insurance is deeply involved. No surprise, this veteran campaigner. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, online at purdyinsurance.com. Our phone, powered by Lenape Solar. Visit them online at lenapesolar.com. And, of course, we're at the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So we have it rolling today. I just find it shocking that the golf ratings were up 138%.
Well, of course they were.
And that racing was down 138%.
That I don't believe. But the golf being up 100-some-odd percent.
What don't you believe?
I believe the golf was up because, well, it's everybody's waiting to see Tiger either. You said this a couple of months ago. You either want to see Tiger succeed or fail miserably.
Right.
There's no in between.
Exactly.
Now.
He is now the favorite to win the U.S. Open at Olympic Club.
Now, if that would have gone head-to-head against the Indy 500, I would have said, okay, you might have an argument there.
Might have what? It would blow away the Indy 500.
I don't know about that.
Tiger Woods in contention, looking to win?
That's debatable.
Versus a bunch of people you love going in circles?
That's debatable. And by the way, I did get some interesting news. And this is not fact by any means.
You're having another child?
No. I hope not. No, this is not fact by any means, but Pocono Raceway has been doing surveys regarding IndyCar back at Pocono. Now, that's what that track was basically built for in the first place.
Mm-hmm. The Trioval.
Yes. Yep. So it would be very exciting to see that actually come to fruition, especially with the fact that Baltimore's Grand Prix may not be happening anymore after this year.
Hmm. Because the ratings were down 138%.
No, it's not because the ratings were down anywhere. Had nothing to do with that.
So Tiger is in contention. And the ratings go up and he wins. Now the U.S. Open at Olympic Club, which will present, you will see narrow fairways, typical U.S. Open. You'll see U.S. Open rough, typical, but what Olympic Club brings to the table that protects itself against the world's best would be postage stamp greens, very small greens.
Yeah, it's either throw it to the stick or, well, there is no put it on the green. It's you got to throw it right to the stick at that point.
Right. So that's what it brings to the table. Can he handle that? We'll find out. He hasn't won a major since 2009. But now, you feel after watching yesterday that he is capable of doing it.
I'm wondering, though, is yesterday's win a good thing or a bad thing for him coming into the Open?
What are you talking about?
Well,
winning is never a bad thing.
What is it that we...
I always find this debate interesting.
Oh, there we go.
It's a good thing we lost. Really? No, it's not really a good thing you lost. Remember, it was really good for the Packers. They lost to Kansas City. It was really good. Wrong.
All right.
It's not.
Didn't you say on this very program last week that Tiger thinks too much?
Yes.
Okay. Now, he's just come off of a win where everybody all of a sudden starts turning and watching.
Right. Now he thinks he's good.
Okay, so it's not that he thinks too much. It's what he thinks about that's the problem.
Well, I don't know what he thinks about. I think that what yesterday established for him was a rhythm on the golf course that he hasn't had in a long time.
That's true.
Right, that is the big plus. He developed a rhythm on the golf course yesterday. Because a Jack Nicklaus designed golf course in Muirfield Village is his baby. Gets progressively harder as you move through the round. With the one exception on this course, that's 15. Tiger Woods destroys 15 at Muirfield Village.
Ironic, though, that he passed. Didn't he pass Nicklaus
tied
for wins? Or tied. Okay.
Tied.
On his own course. That's what I was thinking when I heard that. But
yes.
Now, let me ask you this question. Would ESPN, if they were there in the day of Nicklaus and in the day of Snead, would they be covering those two guys the same way they cover Tiger Woods? Your opinion. Just an opinion question.
Well, they were in existence for three of Jack's majors.
Not in the same significance they are now.
You mean ESPN significance?
Yeah.
In 86, they were pretty prominent. I mean, they were seven years in at that point.
You're talking to somebody who didn't get cable till the 90s.
Okay, fine. We'll vote no on that. I forgot.
There's more than three channels? This is sweet.
Some people obviously need rabbit ears.
Rabbit ears? We had to have a whole antenna array. But that's beside the point.
Yes.
I think they would have probably with
they
Nicklaus.
Have?
I think they might have with Nicklaus because of the fact of the crowds that followed him. It was the same... I don't want to say amount of people, but it was the same size crowds that follow Tiger now on a regular basis.
The formula ESPN had back then, as opposed to the one they have now, was different. Back in the 80s, when they covered sports, as opposed to now, where they think they're a show all the time.
So it went from sports covering it like you would in a newscast, to sports like you would cover it if you were entertaining.
Yes.
I agree with that.
They were far more highlight-oriented, and when they showed highlights, they actually showed you the highlights. And I'll give you an example. And I'll use the Tiger Woods example. I'm trying to think. It may have been Quail Hollow where he missed the cut. They must have shown six shots of him flailing. You know, a couple putts that went in, and then four of him flailing away, whatever. Then they showed one shot of somebody else, and then one shot of the person leading. They had eight highlights. 75% of them were him not making the cut. One highlight was the person who was winning. I sat there and I thought to myself, you have to be kidding me. Now, him not making the cut is the big story. But when you diminish the winning part because the entertainment part you deem to be more important. It's like their coverage on the NBA has just been insane. I mean, it's been NBA this and NBA that. If the NBA is so great, why is it that when the NFL went through its lockout, people got a little antsy about the NFL last year not being able to play the season? Why is the Super Bowl in the February sweeps leaking into prime time, and the NBA finals are in June out of the May sweeps?
And during rerun season.
Well, that's my point.
No, I know. I'm agreeing. Yeah.
Now, the NBA does it very well in that time slot, so the time slot fits it very well. But even the networks know through their own research, they're not going to put the game up against NCIS.
However, as you like to always say with Penn State and wrestling, Tiger is the show on the tour.
Yeah, he's the show. He's the absolute show. He's the absolute show. That's why I brought up the question, it was a couple months ago? Maybe it was before the Masters. This show's been on so long now. When he's in contention, now you watch, people watch.
Sure.
As the 138% ratings increase shows, they watch. But are you watching to watch him win or lose?
Or just watching because it's Tiger?
We had a 50-50 split. Well, you're watching for some reason, whether you're watching Tiger or not. You're not sitting there going, I think I'll watch to admire his golf game. You're either rooting for him or against him.
I suppose that's true.
It's like you rooting for or against Dario Franchitti. Let me put it in terms that you understand.
Oh, well, now I understand completely.
Yes. Yes. Ratings for the Detroit Grand Prix plummeted, by the way.
A red flag! That's not apples to apples. That's not fair.
Plummet.
I didn't even get to see the end of it because my DVR stopped recording.
Oh. Want me to tell you one?
I found out. Thanks.
Okay. Tell me.
I was amazed that you knew. That's what I was thinking. But I kept that quiet.
Our number is 1-800-795-9565. Tomorrow we're going to have Jason Dombach on to talk about the Major League Baseball draft, which is going on today. Later in the week, Dick Girardi, will have him on the Belmont Stakes. And next Monday, a sit-down with Bill O'Brien.
And I will have full coverage of race weekend at Pocono on Monday as well. Hello? You still there? Did you pass out? Fall out on the floor? Are you shocked?
Today's show is being brought to you by people who love football, Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, and online at purdyinsurance.com. That's why I mentioned the Bill O'Brien thing.
Oh, good idea.
Our phone sponsor, and when people call, they so far have called a lot more about football than they ever have about racing.
Oh, boy.
Powered by Lenape Solar. Visit them online at lenapesolar.com. Hey. I talked to the Sunbury Motors guys. You know what they love?
What, pray tell, is that?
Football.
Football, huh? I was telling you that months ago.
So we're going to talk to Bill O'Brien.
Equal opportunity programming, though.
That's meanwhile, Kevin will have a sit-down interview with the person in charge of the jack on the rear wheel.
The left tire changer.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We'll come back with more football talk after this.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home. You take out a policy and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent. Pretty Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or at PrettyInsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
one 800 795 9565. That's our number. Get you involved in the show as Vance Worley, shocking to Kevin, starts tonight.
I'm happy. Not shocked. I'm happy that's the case.
No, you're shocked because you whined, moaned, and complained vociferously about the Phillies were hiding something, and I made some stupid comment about it being retroactive, and that would indicate he'd be back sooner.
I'm glad. I'm happy to be wrong in this case, but again, he's still got a bone floating around in there, and hopefully that all hangs in there until the end of the season.
Well, I mean, it's certainly a possibility. I mean, it hangs in, it'll hang over him, yeah. No doubt, but he's well enough to pitch, so he's going to pitch.
And Utley goes to Clearwater.
Yeah, Mr. Perfect must feel like he's perfect now.
I'm just happy to see some movement there because it was looking like he wasn't going anywhere anytime soon.
Well, you know what? That is,
yes.
I understand the mental part of it and wanting to feel secure before you go back out there. Okay. I understand that. All right. But the athletes that need to be absolutely perfect before they give it a shot drive you and everybody else in the organization up a wall.
Well, his quote was that my whole goal is to feel comfortable and feel like I can contribute on a daily basis. I'm excited. I'm not happy I'm in this position, but I'm excited that I'm feeling better and have an opportunity to go down and keep working the kind of advance how things are going here.
And he essentially said nothing.
Yeah, he said that. Well, yeah, the only thing he said was, I'm hoping things get better. That's really what he's saying, because there's no timetable on this at all. But right. At least there's something happening. It's concerning if you're a Phillies fan. You see Chase Utley, and they show him in the dugout every three innings. And
doing nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, right. A glorified cheerleader. Not that that's not a bad thing. I mean, it's great to have a guy like that in there. I'm sure he can help a lot of these young guys in different situations, but.
Well, I understand that. But again, athletes who feel they need to be absolutely perfect before they go back out there, it drives everybody in the organization crazy. There's a difference between being hurt and injured. A huge difference between being hurt and being injured. I know he's been injured. But something tells me over the last couple of weeks he's only been hurt.
I mean, nobody said anything about it. He hasn't really talked about it. It looked like he was going to be ready to start on time, then stopped taking fielding practice the second week of camp, spent the first month of the season working with a physical therapist, then came back May 5th, was supposed to take ground balls for a week or two, nothing, and no reason behind it either.
Like I said, there's a difference between being hurt and being injured. And athletes who feel they have to be perfect drive organizations up the wall.
Well, and look, trying to look at it from his perspective a little bit, which I've been trying to do a lot. He's been injured a lot lately, and maybe feels as though if he takes his time with this one and doesn't rush back, that maybe he'll be able to play longer and more often and maybe able to extend his career a little bit.
Maybe.
I'm hoping that's the case.
Just say it.
Well, it would be nice to hear that. You're right. It would be nice in a news conference to say, listen, I rushed back the last couple of times. It hasn't worked 100%. I want to get this done right so I can be a contributor to this team for another couple of years. That would be fine.
Right. So, I mean, that's the only thing. Just say it. I'd buy it.
Or I came back up because I wanted to see this team, I wanted to be a part of the team, and I wanted to help out in any way I can instead of just sitting around doing nothing. I'd even take that at this point.
Right. Just say it. I mean, people are paying good money. They thought you were going to be a part of it. You know, you sort of, you know, and all this, I don't owe anybody an explanation. Yeah, you do. You do owe a little bit of an explanation. Right. You've got a lot of people paying a lot of money out of their hard-earned dime thinking you're going to be a part of it. Just tell me what the deal is.
That bugs me about professional players at all levels, in all sports. Because guess what? Somebody's paying good money to have a jersey with your name on it on the that they wear because they want to follow you. They respect what you're playing. They like you as a player. And then all of a sudden you disrespect them by, you know, not acknowledging the fact that your paycheck comes from theirs.
Well, exactly. I mean, hard-earned money. All right, Sarah Bartlett and the news, and you want to talk about somebody who is worth every dime we give her. She certainly is. In fact, we're going to give her some of Kevin's.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Brought to you today by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, and online at purdyinsurance.com. Our number 1-800-795-9565. After another major racing blow for Kevin this weekend, where the Memorial Tournament ate up all of his viewers.
Wasn't that red flag, bad track, bad street surface patching?
So once again, you're blaming the city of Detroit.
No, I'm blaming IndyCar on this one. There's no way to blame the city because IndyCar had a good look at this street circuit. It's always been, it historically has been a fun street circuit, but whatever patch that they used looked like a big piece of electrical tape that kind of came up and brought some of the cement with it. And James Hinchcliffe got it caught underneath the wheel and went straight into the tire barrier, and that started a few issues along the way and the red flag to get it fixed.
By the way, this is 22 years today that the Big Ten officially voted Penn State in.
Happy anniversary.
And I was on a series of talk shows last summer, and Nebraska at this point was a month away from officially entering. So from Omaha to Lincoln to North Platte, and each one of them kept saying, wow, I said, everybody's been so great to us. And I said, well, that's what happens when you're voted in 11 to nothing. I said, I can tell you right now, it's a little different when you're voted in 7-3. Which, by the way, was Penn State's vote. It was 7-3, and they needed 7 votes to get in. Now what are you going to ask?
Who's next?
Who voted no?
Oh, who's well? All right, that.
Yeah, you want to know who voted?
I want
no,
to know a little bit. Yeah, I think I do have an idea.
Okay, who do you think?
My first guess would have been Ohio State.
Nope, voted yes.
Michigan would have been another guess.
They voted no.
I would think Northwestern would have said no.
Nope, they were the swing vote that voted yes that got them in.
Let's see. Illinois.
Voted yes.
Well, I'm running out of teams now, so it's so you're going to have to tell me.
Oh, you're just so painful.
No, Wisconsin.
Nope, voted yes.
I was going to say, I would think Wisconsin would.
Nope, voted yes.
Iowa, I wouldn't know why they would have any trouble.
Voted yes. The three that
Purdue,
voted no.
Purdue might vote
they
no.
They voted yes. Oh. The three that voted no were... Jeez.
Why don't you ask me the other way around then?
I know, probably. Michigan, Indiana, and Minnesota.
Minnesota?
They were vehement.
Why?
Didn't want a team that far east in. Michigan, Indiana, and Minnesota voted no.
I can kind of understand Indiana.
I can't understand any of them.
Well, I can understand Indiana because they don't want anybody else that's going to beat them. That's what they don't want.
Well,
let's be honest.
This is how it went down, okay? When it was first announced, it was all done on the presidential level. The presidents were all for it. The athletic people were all upset about it because they weren't informed. Okay?
All right.
So they go through this wrangling. It was a really tough 6 months. There was a lot of thought that Penn State wasn't going to make it. They were not going to make the cut. They needed 7 votes to get in. Rick Bay was the athletic director of Minnesota. He was vehement in his opposition to it. Then Michigan and Indiana, in part because they didn't like the process, but still they voted no. The key was Northwestern. Everybody else voted yes. And Northwestern had to be assured by everybody that Penn State was not entering to replace them.
Why did they think they were getting kicked out?
Because you have to remember the climate in Northwestern at the time, athletically. Look, I think it's wonderful that they've won all these lacrosse championships. Everybody does, okay? But in the real world, okay, in the real world, nobody cares. They care what you do in football and men's basketball, okay?
Unfortunate, but true.
Okay, I'm only making a statement. I am not saying, because I care about every sport. Okay? Central Mountain today won the Quad A softball championship, beat Hempfield 2-1. That's great. Okay, I'm talking real world, though. And Northwestern in 1990 was not competitive in football and men's basketball. And it didn't seem like, you know, this is pre-Gary Barnett. This is pre-Bill Carmody. And there was a lot of talk, you know, there was always talk that Northwestern shouldn't be in the Big Ten. Thus, they were worried that the entrance of Penn State would be, look, we're going to have 10 schools. You're not going to be one of them. Until they were convinced by everybody else that no matter what, they were going with 11 schools. They weren't going to change the name. It's a corporate name, but they're going with 11 schools. You're in. As soon as they were absolutely convinced that they were in and not out, they voted yes. That was the swing. Then Penn State goes to the Atlantic 10, and they need 7 votes to kick Penn State out. Penn State had one more year in its contract to go in 90-91. So they sit down to vote in 1990 for the 90-91 season. Everybody votes no except for Rutgers and Temple, who vote yes, and West Virginia abstained. Penn State stayed.
Why would you do that if you're West Virginia?
Abstain?
Yeah. Because you don't want to tick off Penn State? I mean, why would you not want to make your voice heard?
They have to call them and ask them. I don't know.
Well, I thought maybe there was they felt there was a conflict of interest somewhere. I don't know. I was just curious.
Probably because of the longstanding football relationship.
Maybe. That's what it just sounded strange.
I think the longstanding football relationship is probably the reason. But I've also just given you more information than anybody around here had. No, so I'm not going to explain all of it.
Well, come on.
I can't explain all of it. I'm just telling you what it was. So Penn State stays in by a yes from Rutgers and a yes from Temple and an abstention by West Virginia. So they only had 6 votes, and they needed 7 out of 9 to kick them out. Penn State then takes that vote. And then goes on to win the women's basketball Atlantic 10 tournament and the automatic bid, and the men's basketball tournament and the automatic bid, to which they then went to the Carrier Dome and beat UCLA in the opening round of the NCAA tournament.
And then everybody wanted them out.
Oh, well, no, at that point, the contract was up.
Right.
Ron Brdovich was the commissioner. The poor guy has to go to Penn State and wreck all. Last game ever in the Atlantic 10. Here's the trophy ticket. That's hard.
Congratulations.
And I like Birdo a lot, too. Ronnie's a great guy. He really is. But that had to be so hard from here to have the trophy ticket. But that's how it all came about. That's how narrow the margin was in both cases. I think Bob Mulcahy was the athletic director at Rutgers, and Charlie Theokas was the athletic director at Temple at the time. And then again, in the Big Ten, Michigan voted no, Indiana no, and Minnesota voted no. And Minnesota's vehement about it. So this was 22 years ago today, and they made the announcement, you're in. Razor's Edge. You have to get something out of this show, don't you?
Well, I've always said it's been very informative. And since you're on a football topic anyway, riddle me this. Does the NFL have any desire at all to talk with the officials union, seeing as now they just decided to hire and start training replacement officials?
Well, what's interesting about that, that's not the real story. Okay, the real story that affects the fans around here is that they will not hire those officials from BCS conferences. So if you're involved, like take, for example, I'll give you an example of a fine young official in the Big Ten, Scott McElwee, okay? Father refereed in the NFL.
I was going to say, I've heard that name before, but...
Yeah, Scott McElwee is one of the fine young officials in college football. Big Ten guy now. He would not be allowed to be hired by the NFL. The NFL would not go after him. They would not ask him to move up, to move to the NFL. The NFL says they'll go for replacement referees, but they will not be from BCS conferences.
Well, that's good and bad, because now you're not putting strain on the college level to find replacement officials, but are the officials that you are getting as good a quality?
If replay. I can see if the knee's down. Can you?
With replay, yes.
Yes.
Without replay, I'm not so sure.
Well, if you have replay, it doesn't matter.
Good point.
Well, and because the replacement officials are going to give them four challenges a game.
That's what I was. You beat me to it. I was going to say, do you get an extra flag in your pocket just in case?
Right. Our number 1-800-795-9565. But that's the key part of the story, at least from a local perspective. You know, obviously, Eagle, Steeler, Giant, Jets fans in our area are sitting there, and I guess both Raven fans. Bartlett just turned red.
Well, she's one of them. At least you recognized her.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Just introduce me to your friend, Barty. Who is that? The other Raven fan. The effects on the games would be interesting. Because NFL officials, for the most part, do a great job. Replay helps bail them out. And isn't it interesting? Johan Santana doesn't have a replay. Doesn't have a no hitter because of replay.
Yeah,
it's true. That would have been a challenge.
Yes,
and it would have been a challenge that would have been won.
Yeah, I didn't even think about
this,
it.
Nope, this is what I have been talking about. You have to somehow have what would have wasted more time? Him out there arguing about it, which he did, or him coming out with a challenge and saying, look, I want to challenge the last play and replay. They look at it and go, boom, it's a base hit. I mean, I'm glad Johan Santana threw a no-hitter. I'm happy for him. I'm happy the fact that the first time in Mets history it's happened. In fact, the Padres are the only ones left that don't have one. Okay, it's fine. It's all well and good. But replay would have put that guy on base. It was a fair ball. And not only that, but it also takes the onus and the focus off of, quote, the call. Instead, the call would have been right.
Well, I've said to you before, I'm not against replay in baseball in certain situations. You know, fair ball, foul ball. I mean, if you get a good shot of it and you can, and you're beyond a doubt that it can be overturned the way they do in the NFL, I'm all for it. But I'm afraid that if you open things up, that they're going to want to start to do balls and strikes, and that
you can't do balls and strikes. It's impossible.
Well, tell that to
balls and strikes are impossible.
I'm not sure it is. Technology-wise.
It's impossible. It's impossible.
Let's look at things from a technological standpoint. All right, we can put sensors all over people, and all of a sudden create an image on a computer.
Yeah, and guess what? You're not going to put the money into that.
I'm just saying. I know this is far-fetched.
You're not going to put the money into that, okay? All right? It's enough that they've invested money in putting a radio in the helmet in the NFL. So I was kidding Bill O'Brien. I said, no, would you could talk to Brady anytime you want? He says, yeah. I said, but in college where they really need it, you can't? And he goes, yeah.
Yeah. What did he say to Brady? Hey, nice pass. I mean, what else do you tell him?
That day in Washington, obviously, they didn't tell him nice pass on that play.
That's true.
But, you know, you need to have the ability. Balls and strikes have to be exempt. And I put balls and strikes under the same category as replay is not to be used to call penalties in the NFL.
Or fouls
in the NBA. It's not. Okay? Which is fine. It's the way it should be. To me, balls and strikes falls into that category. But he comes out, looks at the umpire, won a challenge, right? Guy upstairs looks at it, boom, base hit, put him at first base. Now, he probably would have gotten a double out of that, but you can't make that judgment call.
Yeah, that goes into what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago.
Right. No, but you give them the minimum base that is an absolute. Well, on that play, the absolute would have been he would have been at first base. Simple as that.
Hey, first base is better than no base.
Right. Who knows? It jumpstarts a rally. Like the thing, you know, the other night with Detroit and Boston. He clearly catches the ball. Instead of having Leland out there acting like a nut, justifiably mad.
I'd miss that, though.
Oh, you do not?
Yes, I would. I really would. I'm not kidding. There, as a Phillies fan, I love to watch Charlie go out there and get red-beaked. I mean, I really do.
I'd rather have the call right. I really don't need that. And to me, the entertainment is, you know, the game. I'm not into sideshows.
Maybe he could do that after he runs out of challenges.
No, he can run out of there and just say, hey, look, I want to challenge the play. Okay, challenge the play. Guess what? Leland would have won the challenge. He caught it. It was a clear catch. That's why you have it. You're trying to make the game better. You're trying to use the tools to make the game better. Okay? Every sport is looking for more offense, and every sport now is looking at ways to make things right, except for them. I mean, even golf, we just watched golf. Well, the equipment upgrades in golf over the years have put the big hitter out there, made it more dynamic. People love power. I mean, even there, I mean, they've had to lengthen courses, and you know, U.S. Open roughs are certain size, you know, certain length, and so forth. All right. But the equipment they allow in now to play has, quote, put more offense into the game of golf.
Yeah, but the anti-slice balls don't work.
Hybrid clubs, well, no. Remember, always remember, you're allowed 14 clubs in the bag. And in Kevin's case, there's just one swing. We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury and online at purdyinsurance.com. Back with more of the Steve Jones Show and WKOK after this. Welcome back. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, and online at purdyinsurance.com. Tomorrow, Jason Dombach on the Major League Baseball draft. New draft rules in effect, 50 rounds down to 40 rounds. And also the ability to sign. Used to be August 15th would be the deadline. And now it's going to be the All-Star break. Thus, in the New York Penn League, Williamsport State College, the opportunity to see some of these draft choices in front of you right away is apparent. And that's what today's about. We'll talk to JD about that tomorrow. And also Dick Girardi, and I'll have another in the Belmont. We'll talk Belmont Stakes with DJ on Friday.
If that horse wins, there'll be more than another for the parties afterwards.
I'm going to stick with what I said the Monday after the Kentucky Derby. I think Union Rags will win the Belmont Stakes.
Didn't you have Union Rags winning the Derby, too?
I did.
Okay.
But in the 20-horse cluster bomb.
I understand. No, I wasn't making fun of it.
The horse got out of the gate. The horse got squeezed. The horse, then he inexplicably took the horse to the rail. What are you doing? Get it out in some clean air, will you? Nope, gets there, gets whacked against the rail. Runs 18th for probably three-quarters of the race, finished 7th. The horse has not won in a while. It finished 3rd at the Florida Derby and 7th at the Kentucky Derby. Not great, but at a mile and a half, I think this horse has the stamina to win it. I'll have another, to its credit, is the best horse on the track down the stretch.
Definitely finished well the last couple.
Well, no question. That's because it feels fatigue at a lesser rate than the other horses do. You're not where the horse, I mean, it may look it, but the horse is not running faster in the stretch run than in the middle. It just doesn't happen. All the horses are running slower. It just turns out that he's running slower than he is.
I just wonder if this race is run at a fast clip at the first quarter, if I'll have another can hang on with the longer race.
A mile and a half's hard to run the race at a clip. You may have a speed horse in there that's out there as a rabbit, but I think this is a race where you, for the first half, you have to pace yourself.
You have to be very smart.
Yeah.
And don't get yourself in a bad situation.
This is also a different track than Pimlico or Churchill Downs, because this is the mile and a half. It is wide sweeping turns. That's different. Top of the hour, CBS News, then Ravens fan extraordinaire Sarah Bartlett. All that and more. Your calls, 1-800-795-9565. Looking forward to hearing from you.